the most beloved verses in all the Bible, John 3:16. And it's really the gospel in a nutshell. I mean, aren't you glad that he loved even you? Isn't the one love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful. Let's read out loud John 3:16 if you have it. Let's just read it out loud together. Ready? For God so loved that whosoever believeth in him but have amen. Father, thank you for your great love. You proved your love, Lord, on the cross of Calvary. And I'm thankful that you just didn't stay dead, Lord, on that cross. You were nailed to that cross. No one took your life, Jesus. You willingly laid it down for us. But I'm thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that 3 days later you came out of the grave. And Lord, because you live, we can live also. And so thank you for that resurrection power. Now, Lord, take over and take charge. I pray you give me a little of that fresh oil today. I sure need you, Lord, and do what only you can do. Have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started in John chapter 3 last week, and the story of Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Pharisees, that conservative religious group. But just being religious will not save you, will not wash your sins away. You need to be born again. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. You need two births. A physical birth, you're all physically born, you wouldn't be here, right? Thank God for our mother. But thank God for our spiritual birth. If you've had a time in your life where you realize you were a sinner and that you were undone and you needed forgiveness. Hey, that's a good thing if you realize you need forgiveness. And I'm thankful for the day that the Lord saved me. And you know what? He can save you too. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Well, we need to thank God for what he's done in the past and what he's doing right now and what he'll do in the future. Amen. But when it talks about the love of God and what Jesus did for us on the cross, it's right here for everyone. It's for everyone. Everyone. It's the whole world. And this blasphemous, false religion, false doctrine that he only died for a certain elect is straight out of hell. So don't you believe a Calvinism doctrine or teaching. My Bible says he loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that would mean you, right? Believeth in him should not perish. I'm thankful that we don't have to be condemned. I'm thankful that we don't have to go to hell. And by the way, God gave his best gift, his only begotten son, that you don't have to go to hell. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus, his son. By the way, Jesus is God, and he can forgive you if you'll let him. But thank God for the time where you realized you were a sinner and that God loves you and he cares about you and he wants a relationship with you. It's not in religion. It's in a relationship if you want to be saved. And so you can have that. This chapter really should be linked back if you read John chapter 1, verse 12. Let's look at that. John chapter 1. Verse 12, but as many as received him, that's talking about Jesus, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so I don't care what your skin color is, your education, your background, your financial portfolio or whatever. Hey, none of that will get you to heaven. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're here to preach about Jesus, okay? We have so much to be thankful for saving my soul and making me whole. Thank you, Lord. Where would we be without Jesus? So realize that he loves you. John 3:16, right back in our text. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. Why do we believe in missions and missionaries around here? Because he loves them too. Over in Africa, over in Taiwan, over in the Philippines, over in China. I mean, just everywhere you go, Afghanistan. That people need the Lord, don't they? People need Jesus Christ, and He's the only hope. People need Jesus Christ right here in Glendale, Arizona, don't they? And you can't go anywhere where you don't find that you need the Lord. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches this. That's where we get it, right out of the Bible. Realize you're a sinner. Do you realize you're a sinner? Have you lied? What's that make you? A liar. Have you had bad thoughts? What's that make you? Well, makes you a sinner, that's for sure. Makes you a lot more than that, doesn't it? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? That's against the Word of God, right? Hey, have you ever stole anything as a little child, maybe? Stole something? That makes you a thief, right? So many things that we hurt God. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Where it was empty, you didn't mean it? I mean, it was just nothing to you? Sometimes you can pray for your food. I think we ought to pray for our food, don't you? When you have the food put before you, always have the blessing. Always give thanks. When the Lord did the Lord's Supper, what? He prayed and gave thanks. And so always pray over your food. Food, you might come to a time in your life where you don't have any food. You better pray and thank Him for the food that you have now. So much waste going on. That's another subject, isn't it? But, you know, God loves us. And we should be thankful. But if you're not thankful, and if you're a sinner and you take His name in vain, friends, you need God. You need a relationship in your life. And by the way, I'll just stop here. When He was on the cross, they put a crown of thorns upon His head and they smote it. Those thorns went deep down in His brow. And Jesus bled for you and for me. That should have been our crown. It should have been us crucified instead of the Lord. He took our sin and He paid for it. Can I go another step forward? How many times when you sin, you feel guilt? Raise your hand. You feel guilt. Can I tell you this? He paid for that too. You deserve the punishment. I deserve the punishment, but Jesus took our punishment. He wore our crown. I'll say it again. He wore our crown. He took our thorns. He took the nails. But the nails didn't hold Him on the cross. His love for you and for me kept Him up there. He finished what He started out to do. He loves you so much. I love Romans 5. I think we need to turn there. Go ahead. Acts, Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Chapter 5, verse 8. What a precious verse. Come on in. God bless you. Romans 5, 8. How precious is this verse? I'm talking to somebody today. I'm telling you that God loves you, and you need to realize He loves you even in all your sin. You are a sinner, and you the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The penalty, death and hell. And you don't want to go to hell. I said, you don't want to go to hell. You won't have nothing to drink. It's fire. It says it's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Hell is the opposite of heaven. In heaven, one of our precious ladies went to heaven this week. 3:00 in the morning, I got the call. And Shirley Sigler, pray for Leon and also Joe and Angela. I'll let you know if I hear any more. But, you know, Shirley was a precious woman of God. Amen. She was so sweet. And she prayed for years that her husband would be saved. And praise the Lord, he finally trusted Jesus as his Savior. And you know what Leon told me? He said, one day I'll be up there real soon to be with her. She's with her mama up in heaven. But in hell, you'll be separated from those who are saved. You'll be separated from those who are born again. And if you reject Jesus down here, you won't make it up there. But He doesn't want you to go to hell. He sent His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do you go to heaven? You believe on Jesus with your heart. 5:8. Are you there, Romans? Let's read it out loud. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ. That's powerful there. That's powerful. That's precious. That's wonderful, because what that tells you, he commendeth, that word means he proved it. He proved his love. Jesus proved his love for you. Husbands, you ought to prove your love for people you love. You ought to prove it. You ought not just say it. What is that, Larry? Love is a verb. It's action. You should prove your love. You should be trying to prove. If you love someone, just don't talk about it. Show them. Jesus showed it. He went on that cross. He laid down his life. He said with his arms stretched out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know when people hurt you, we need to forgive them, because they know not what they do a lot of times. You know, they turned their back on Jesus, didn't they? They spit upon Jesus. They mocked him and crucified him. This is the thing, the difference. He didn't do anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. I can understand why people down here, they mock people, but Jesus is perfect. He is the Son of God. He's pure and holy and undefiled. He's a thrice holy God. And Jesus loved you so much. Even in all of your sin, he died for you, because he wants to be with you in heaven one day. This life is short, isn't it? I mean, 70, 80, if you're blessed. Some people live in their 90s. That's right. It's a vapor. It appears for a while and vanisheth away. But friends, if you have Jesus, you can live eternally. You can live in heaven. It says in John 3:16, everlasting life. So when you trust Jesus, no one can take that from you. The price must be paid. Romans, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage or the payment for our sin is death. According to the Bible, it's eternal separation from God in a place called hell. You may not believe this preacher, but you better believe this book. You better believe God. Realize this, that Jesus died for you and rose again the third day. We just read the verse, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Then you could have all that in your head. Hear me. A mental assent. But if it's not in your heart, you won't be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth. And so you can believe that's an airplane. Okay. Kick the tires. Yeah, that plane's capable of getting you to California. You can see the pilot. He's got his wings. He's all clean and sober. And he looks capable. He's got his credentials. Shake his hand. You feel pretty good about the pilot. You look out there at the wings, and all the rivets are still in the wings. They're not falling out. And, you know, it looks like it's gassed up and ready to go. And you can believe all of that. But believing that won't get you California. You have to get on board. You have to trust. And that's with Jesus. A lot of people, I know about Jesus. I believe in Jesus with the head, and they miss heaven by 18 inches from their head to their heart. They miss heaven, and they cast out into the lake of fire forever. What's my job as a preacher? To get you ready to go to heaven, get you there. Take as many as I can with me, because people need the Lord. They need that salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior? Go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Going to church won't save you. It says here, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus, what he did on the cross. For God sent not his Son, verse 17, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? He wants to save you. Have you been saved? He that believeth on him is not condemned. You're not condemned. You won't have to face that punishment. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's Jesus. Have you received the truth? Have you believed on him? If not, you're condemned already. Verse 18, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You've already got that punishment on you. You're headed on a slick road to hell. You're headed that way. And you could go to hell today. Don't wait till you're on a plane that's ready to crash. You see the engines dropping off and the oxygen thing's dropping out. Say, oh, Lord, save me. We're not talking about saving you from an incident or some type of crisis or accident like some people in war. They called it foxhole religion. They saw the bullets and the bombs coming, and they got down in the foxhole and they, Lord, save me. What are they praying? They're praying for the Lord to save them out of that situation. Friends, we need the Lord to save us from our sin and the punishment of sin, which is death and hell. He that believeth on him is not condemned, verse 18, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not, what? He's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light has come into the world. John talks about Jesus. He said it himself. Listen, watch this. He said, I'm the light of the world, is what Jesus said. And he'll lighten up your life, won't he? He'll give you life in him. Talking about Jesus, we live and move and have our being. But men don't want to come to that light because their deeds are evil, it says. Their deeds are evil, verse 19. Why? They don't want to be exposed. They got caught. Their deeds are manifest. Well, can I tell you this? Oh, listen. Jesus sees everything. You're already caught. I'm already caught. We're all caught because Jesus knows we're sinners. We just need to agree with him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Have you been in the light? Have you received the light? It says, if you haven't, you're condemned already, and you don't like what I'm preaching right now. You don't like it because your deeds are exposed, amen? We need some old leatherneck, loud, lift up your voice like a trumpet preacher and say, look, we're sinners and we better repent and get saved. We need some of that. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We don't like being reproved, do we? Better be reproved down here than stand before Almighty God, and then you'll fall on your face. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You better confess him now before it's too late. At the great white throne judgment, it'll be too late. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, we're just going to verse 24. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, the Holy Spirit's knocking on your door of your heart today, let him in. I know when Revelation's talking about the church there, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in. Have you let Jesus in? You remember when he was born? He wasn't born in a place of royalty. He's born and laid in a manger in a cattle stall because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room. You know, there's a lot of people that have no room for Jesus even today. They have room for everything else, but no room for Jesus. There's an old song in our hymn book, have you any room for Jesus? You say, why am I sitting in this church to hear what I'm telling you now? That you may make room for Jesus. Open your heart's door and let him come in. We're on 21. He that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, I'm thinking of some that recently have been saved, and that's wonderful. That's great. That's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. The best day in my life was not March the 19th, 1982, when I got married. Now, I have to admit, that was a stellar day. That was a great day. But the best day of my life is when I met Jesus. I let him in when I was 10 years old. And Jesus did come in. Can I tell you, he wants to come in? Will you make room for Jesus? He's knocking at your heart. Don't slam the door. Say, I don't want to make any fuss. I don't want to. Hey, just be like Joshua back there. I keep embarrassing Joshua. You have to forgive me 70 times 7, right? That means continual forgiveness, right? He came down here and he got saved just a month ago. Come on right there. Hallelujah. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think of Trevor. Trevor, when I talked to you and Alexis, and Trevor said, all things change when we got God in our life. Amen. Isn't it true how God has changed you through the blood of Jesus Christ? We can be forgiven. God moves in. What a blessing. 23. Did we do 22? 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them. And what? After a person gets saved, they get baptized. Not to wash their sins away, but to say, I'm in. I made room. I'm one of his. And that's a glad day. We're supposed to baptize next week. If you have not followed the Lord in scriptural believers' baptism, come on. We'll all get wet together. Amen. Right over here next Sunday. We've got some that are lined up ready to go. So I'm thankful for your humility. No, wait. Verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Enon. What's that word mean? What's the word Enon mean in the Greek, in the root? A place of much water. In Acts chapter 8, that eunuch came up. They came up out of the water rejoicing. No sprinkling going on here. No pouring going on here. No, don't understand. They're changing their doctrine all the time. Friends, the word baptize means to immerse or plunge. Look it up in the Greek. Baptismo. Okay? And you don't need to baptize babies. Babies don't know they're sinners yet. They haven't understood that they're lost and going to hell. If a baby dies, they go straight to heaven. If a person with Down syndrome dies, they go straight to heaven. They don't understand the whole gospel and all of that. Every baby, person that died prematurely without coming to that realization, go straight to heaven. David's baby died in the Bible. What did David say? The baby can't come to me. But David said this, I can go to the baby. But if you're not saved, you can't go to the baby. There's a great gulf fixed. Enon, a place of much water near Salem, because there it is. It says it right there. There was much water there. And they came and were baptized. Verse 24, we're going to stop after this one. And John was not yet cast into prison. They didn't like his message. Remember, church, look up in here. He preached against fornication and adultery and Herodias. They said, we want his head in a charger. Why'd they get mad? Because he stood up and he said, it's not lawful to have this woman. She's already married to somebody else. And so they said, well, we'll just kill him. Put him in prison and kill him. But as soon as John's head dropped off, he was in heaven. Amen. He was there. They didn't like him. They didn't like the message. I wish we could go over to the book of Acts. I believe it was 7. We got about 8 minutes. Come on. Go to Acts chapter 7. Thank you for that big clock being up there. They changed the batteries in that yesterday. Acts chapter 7, Stephen, first deacon. Is that where we're at? I think so. Acts chapter 7. Oh, Stephen, boy, he was preaching the Bible, preaching Christ, preaching against devils and preaching against idols and all of that, and preaching about the Lord. And you think I kind of get a little rough? Look what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do we. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Can I tell you, the Bible speaks about Jesus sitting on a right hand of the Father. And when Jesus finished the price that was to be paid on Calvary, on the cross of Calvary, and he rose from the dead, he ended up going back up to heaven and sitting down. Why did he sit down on the right hand of the Father? Because it was paid in full. His job was done. But can I tell you, when he saw his servant Stephen getting ready to be stoned, he stood up and said, that's my boy right there. He stood up. Behold, verse 56, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. Don't come to church and stop your ears. And ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. One there holding the coats, name was Saul of Tarsus. schooled in the house of Gamaliel. He was an educated man, but he was mean. Saul of Tarsus would drag you out of church and put you to death. He was a murderer and a blasphemer. But that's what he used to be before he got saved. That's what he used to be. He said, but now I am washed in the blood of Jesus. And God used the Apostle Paul to go ahead and write 2/3 of the New Testament. Amen? That's the power of God that can change a person like that. So I'm thankful. What's the message title, Brother Jonah back there? Here it is. Don't turn down Jesus. Don't turn him down. He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to have an invitation with our heads bowed. If you'll stand to your feet.